Hey there, and welcome to a Meaningful Mess podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thanks for listening. I'm your host, Andy McNair. I love sharing about and advocating for gifted education, talking about passion-based learning, aka Genius Hour, and just sharing practical ways to make learning meaningful for today's learners. If this is your first time to listen, please check out the trailer episode to learn more. But for now, let's dive into today's episode. Here we go. Welcome back to episode 71 of A Meaningful Mess podcast. You know, one of the questions that I've been asked recently about Genius Hour or passion-based learning in the classroom, really any type of PBL, or what are some of the questions that we as educators can ask that will keep them making progress so that they don't fall into that place of frustration? While we know that productive struggle is valuable and important, and we definitely want them to experience that, we also want them to know that we are there as educators to support them as they work on their projects so that they don't get so frustrated that they want to quit. And it's a great question, right? I think it lends itself to really being intentional about thinking through what are the questions that we're asking in the classroom and how are we utilizing those questions to put our learners in the driver's seat. I oftentimes share the analogy of, you know, letting our students drive. Student-driven learning is so important, but it's also really important that we as educators are in the passenger seat. And while our role may look a little bit differently, our role is still really, really important. And I think questioning strategies are a big part of that. And so on today's episode, I want to dive into specific types of questions that you can ask during any type of learning experience where your student is in the driver's seat. I'm going to talk specifically about Genius Hour and passion-based learning simply because, I mean, it's kind of my favorite, and that's what I talk about most on the podcast. But the reality is, I think you'll be able to take these strategies and these techniques and use them in so many different learning experiences, which I think is what makes it so exciting and such an important conversation. So as we talk through this, first of all, if you haven't heard of Genius Hour or passion-based learning, welcome to the party. It's definitely something that I love to talk about. Genius Hour is an opportunity for learners to pursue their passion and purpose during the school day and to kind of learn through application. You could weave the standards into this. It's an opportunity for them to practice life-ready skills that we know are so important in a really meaningful way. And so you can Google Genius Hour. You can visit my website, andymcnair.com. You can click on Genius Hour in the navigation bar. There is no shortage of resources. This is a big conversation in education right now, and I think that is so exciting. All right, so let's get started. Let's talk about the different questioning strategies that you can utilize if you're implementing something like this in your classroom. But as we kind of dive in, I want to be clear that as we go through, I'm going to talk about four specific types of questions that you can ask. And the reality is, I think that most of the questions we ask and most of the questions that we encourage our learners to ask in the classroom should be open-ended. And what I mean by that is that they shouldn't be closed questions that just have a yes or no response or a that's correct, that's incorrect response. So often, I think we do that without recognizing it. But the reality is open-ended questions are what, those are the questions that are going to spark creativity and encourage our learners to think critically about their topics, about their projects, really about whatever it is that you're asking them about. And so I do think this is something that our learners have to practice. I don't think it's always something that they naturally know how to do. And the reality is, as students get older and they realize how to play the school game, I think they get a little bit, it becomes a habit to ask more closed-ended questions like, is this right? Or those yes or no questions. So how do you do that? How do you make that happen? One of my favorite strategies is question formulation technique. You can find more information about this at rightquestion.org. I'll actually share the resource for this in the show notes. You can find those at andymcnair.com/episode71. But question formulation technique is an opportunity for learners to really think about the questions that they're asking. Basically, in a nutshell, you give them a topic and you put them in groups and you ask them to create questions about that topic in a certain amount of time. And then you give them intentional time to make their questions better and prioritize those questions. And I love that step because I think so often we don't give our learners the time to make their questions better. Usually that's just because we as educators don't have a lot of time and we're just trying to get through the content. But when we think about our learners and the questions that they need to ask, it makes sense that we need to be more intentional about that. And QFT, again, is a great way to get your learners to learn the difference between a closed-ended question, an open-ended question, and how open-ended questions can be so much more beneficial. So definitely something to check out. Again, you can check that out in the show notes. So all of the different strategies and questioning tools that I'm going to talk about today, they all involve open-ended questions. So we're going to kind of dive into four different types of questions that you can ask as your learners are working on their project. We're going to start with metacognitive questions. Then we're going to talk about guiding and supporting questions. Those two kind of go together. And then finally, we're going to explore the idea of reflective questions and how those can be beneficial for your learners as well. So let's just jump right in. Let's start with metacognitive questions and let's talk about why these are so important. You know, metacognitive questions can help our learners think about how they're learning and monitor their own progress. One of the things that we say so often about this generation or today's learners is that they're not independent. They want us to tell them how to think or what to do. And I think we can reverse this through asking the right questions. And metacognitive questions can play a big role in that. When I look back on my time in the classroom, when I was in the classroom, I think so often some of the frustration that I had with my learners and their dependence on me, now that I'm able to reflect on that, I know that some of that could have been avoided or could have been reversed if I would have been more intentional about the questions that I was asking. When we began to implement Genius Hour in the classroom, I recognized really quickly that the more I let them be in the driver's seat, the more comfortable they became in that place. And so I honestly think these metacognitive questions can play a big role in that. And so these types of questions really help our learners become more aware of their own learning processes. And it gives them an opportunity to develop strategies for learning more effectively. It sounds like a win-win, right? And so we want to make sure that we're making these a priority. So again, metacognitive questions, we want these to be open-ended. And I want to give you a couple of examples. One example might be, what strategies are you using to stay on track with your project? So not telling them how to do that, not spoon feeding them that information. It's okay to give them some suggestions and some thoughts, but letting them consider some different strategies instead of feeling like we always have to give those to them. How are you monitoring your own progress on this project? Giving them different options for how they can monitor their progress because that may look different for every learner. What is your plan if you encounter a problem or an obstacle during your project? You know, there's a great strategy. I learned about this from Don Wetrick. It's a business strategy called premortem. And that's exactly what it is, giving them the opportunity to go ahead and think about what might go wrong and what the barriers they may encounter before they encounter them. Again, I'll link to some articles you can read on that strategy. I'll also link to a podcast that Don shared that I think is really powerful as well about premortem in education. So again, you can check that out on the show notes, andymcnair.com/episode71. But metacognitive questions, I just think are really important. And I think as we're designing learning experiences or as we're preparing for our learners to work on their projects, it's not a bad idea to go ahead and write some of these questions down and have them ready to refer to so that you can put your learners in a place to think about their own thinking, to think about their own work. What are they doing and why are they doing it that way? This gives them such an opportunity to develop ownership over the product or ownership over the project and give them an opportunity to ultimately be really proud of the work that they've done because of that ownership. So metacognitive questions, we want them to be open-ended and we want them to be that opportunity for our students to really think about how they're learning and monitoring their own progress. Okay, the next set of questions that we're going to dive into or the next types of questions are supporting and guiding questions. And I want to kind of talk about these together. I was recently talking about this with a group of educators, and it really has got me thinking again about the intentionality of the questions that we ask. I was working with some teachers not too long ago, and one of the educators was sharing with me that one of her gifted learners came up at the end of class and said that they were frustrated because every time the teacher was walking around the room and asking questions, they never came and asked the gifted learner questions with the rest of the class. And that learner felt left out, and they felt like the teacher wasn't interested in what they were doing. And the teacher shared with me, she said, you know, it wasn't that I wasn't interested in the work. I just didn't want to insult that learner by going and asking questions because I knew they were already on the right track, right? I knew they were already moving in the right direction. So I just didn't know what questions to ask, which led me to start to think about this. And I think it's such a great point that our gifted learners still deserve to feel supported in the classroom. So the reality is they may not always need guiding questions, but they do need supporting questions. And let me explain to you what I think the difference is. I think guiding questions are an opportunity to move a learner from point A to point B. So, hey, you might be headed in the wrong direction. I'm going to guide you. We're going to have to turn here. And so the questions that I ask may cause the learner to pivot, or the questions that I ask may cause them to get back on track. But when I'm asking those questions, I'm really trying to get them from one place to another. That's what guiding questions are there for. Supporting questions, I think, are to support a learner in where they already are. Basically, these are questions that are being asked to help the learner feel seen. And I think a lot of gifted learners would tell you that they don't feel seen in the classroom. And supporting questions, if we're intentional about this, are a really practical way that we can help them feel seen and that we can support them in the work without feeling like we have to get them from point A to point B. The reality is sometimes they don't need help getting there. But just because they don't need guidance doesn't mean that they don't need support. And I think this is a really important conversation. So here's how I often think about this. I actually wrote a blog post not too long ago and also posted on Instagram. If you don't follow me on Instagram, make sure that you do. You can find me at @a_meaningful_mess. But this idea of a map versus a GPS mindset in the classroom. I worry that sometimes we have a map mindset in the classroom. And what I mean by that is that we're just trying to get from point A to point B. And if you're using a map, really, you look at that map and you go, okay, here's point A, here's point B, and here's how I'm going to get there, right? But when we think about a GPS, utilizing a GPS, it's always using real-time events to make decisions about how we're going to get from point A to point B. So we're still trying to get from point A to point B. That hasn't changed. But we're going to be very aware of what is happening, how our learners are responding, and what we need to do as we're moving versus a map where it's just, this is how we're getting there, end of story. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, that's not what learning looks like. All of our learners are going to have a different ETA. They're all going to have a different estimated time of arrival. Very rarely are they all going to get to the same level of understanding at the same time. And so when we think about this idea of supporting and guiding questions, I want to think about it through the lens of a GPS. Because if we're utilizing a GPS mindset, which is what we should be doing in the classroom, using those real-time events or real-time kind of things that we see to make decisions about where we're going and what we're doing so that our learners can get to that place of understanding, I think about supporting questions as being that place. Have you ever been driving and your GPS will all of a sudden just come on and say, the route you're on is still the fastest route, right? It's just like, we're going the right way. This is good. That would be a great example of supporting questions. When you're asking a learner a supporting question, you're basically saying, hey, you're doing good work. I see you. I'd like to know more about your project. And so we'll talk about some examples of those supporting questions in just a second. I think about guiding questions as when my GPS will sometimes say, hey, there's a barrier. There's been an accident, or maybe there is, there's a hazard up ahead, or maybe there's a faster way to get to your destination. And so when my GPS tells me those things, it's noticing that there's something not right and we need to make an adjustment. And I think that's what guiding questions are for. So hopefully that brings some clarity about the difference between supporting and guiding questions. And I think different learners need different questions at different times. That's what makes teaching so hard. I get it. I remember when I was in the classroom and that was one of the hardest things was like, how do I know what to ask, when to ask it, and who to ask it to? But hopefully that does bring some clarity around the difference between guiding and supporting questions. And now I want to share some examples with you. So I think some examples of guiding questions, again, these are questions that are going to help kids get from point A to point B. You might say something like, okay, so now that we know this, what might that information suggest that you need to do next? So you're still asking them an open-ended question, but you're giving them a little bit of a clue there. You're saying, remember this information, what is that going to lead to? Or maybe you say, your outside expert said that in order to make this happen, you needed to do this. Have you done that yet? And I'm realizing as I ask that question, that is not an open-ended question, right? Have you done that yet? That would be a yes or a no. So then you could follow that up. If their answer is yes or no, you could follow that up with, well, tell me a little bit about what that looked like. And I think that's the key, you know, as I'm sharing this and thinking through, I think it's really important that if we are going to ask a question that is a yes or a no or a simple answer, that there's just a follow-up question for them to elaborate. Or maybe giving suggestions. Sometimes kids do need suggestions. I think that is a last, I think that's something we do only when they really need it. But saying, what if you tried this? What might happen? And let them respond to that. Because that what if might trigger some what ifs for them. And you might even encourage that. What if you tried this? And then you guys could kind of do a back and forth. I'm going to say a what if, you say a what if. I'm going to say a what if, you say a what if. And let them kind of play around with those ideas. That's the beauty of Genius Hour or passion-based learning, because it is that opportunity for productive struggle and for them to make mistakes and recover from that. It's a great place, a great way for them to be flexible and to be willing to play around with the what if ideas that I think so often they're not able to make happen in a traditional classroom or a traditional learning experience. Okay, so those are some examples of some guiding questions. I think some examples of supporting questions might be, can you tell me more about your project idea and what you hope to achieve through it? So you're giving them this idea of, I support what you're doing. I want to know why you're doing it and what you hope to accomplish. That would be supportive. Can you tell me what you're doing and why you are doing it this way? In other words, I see you. I see what you're doing. And I just want to know, why are you doing this? What are your thoughts? What are some of the things that you are thinking as you're working on this? Basically, supportive questions or supporting questions are an opportunity to show the learner, A, that you see them, and B, that you're interested in learning more about what it is that they're working on. And so guiding and supporting questions kind of go together. I think those happen sort of in the middle of a passion project or a Genius Hour project. As they're working, that's when we're asking those questions. And then finally, at the end of a project, let's be clear, these could also be asked throughout a project as your learners are working, but reflective questions are really important. I really think guiding questions, supporting questions, metacognitive questions, those are all in some way, shape, or form a way to encourage reflection. But we want to really utilize reflective questions to help our learners reflect on their learning and evaluate their progress. So this isn't just about thinking about their progress. This is about evaluating that progress. And these types of questions can help our learners identify areas where they need to focus more or maybe set goals for future learning. And so definitely something to think about. So let me give you some examples of reflective questions that we can ask. What challenges did you encounter while working on this project and how did you overcome them? This is different than the question we asked at the beginning about what are some that you think you might encounter and how will you overcome them? This is now reflecting on, did that happen and how did you overcome those? Another great example might be, how did you collaborate with others during this project? And what did you learn from those interactions? That's an opportunity for them to think about the life-ready skills that they were given the opportunity to apply and to be honest about how well they did with that. Is collaboration something they need to get better at? Are they really good at collaborating? And maybe creativity is something that they need to work on. But I think tailoring these reflective questions to focusing on those life-ready skills is not a bad idea. Maybe what did you discover about yourself through this project? And how will that self-knowledge help you in future learning experiences? So again, these questions are designed to help our learners reflect on their progress, reflect on the work that they've done. And you could have kind of little stopping points as they're working on their project. You know, if you utilize the 6 P's of Genius Hour, passion, plan, pitch, project, product, presentation, you could have a reflection opportunity at the end of each one of those pieces, which I don't think is a bad idea. I actually think that's a really good idea. So something that you might want to consider. If you haven't heard of the 6 P's of Genius Hour, again, make sure you visit my website, andymcnair.com. Click on Genius Hour. You will find all of the things that you need to know there for sure. So again, just as we think about this and we consider questioning in the classroom and what that looks like, today I talked about it through the lens of Genius Hour projects and as your learners are working on really any type of PBL. But the reality, the idea of open-ended questions, metacognitive, guiding and supportive questions, and reflective questions, those are things that we should be considering every day. And so I want to challenge you to maybe next week, today's Friday, so whether you hear this today or next week, maybe in the week coming up, really think through the questioning that you are implementing into the learning experiences that you've designed. And consider, do I have a variety of questioning that's happening in my classroom? Are my learners asking open-ended questions? Am I, as the educator, asking open-ended questions? And if you implement passion-based learning in your classroom or Genius Hour, again, thinking through, am I asking these questions so that I am helping them make progress without being in the driver's seat? We want them to be in the driver's seat, but it's okay for us to be in the passenger seat asking these important questions as they work so that we're facilitating that learning in a really meaningful way. So, all of that being said, one more thing that I want to remind you of is just to consider, is your classroom, are you running your classroom with a map mindset or a GPS mindset? Are you just trying to get from point A to point B and you have one way in mind and that's how it's going to go? Or are you really considering every day, you know, hey, we're going to start on this journey, but the reality is there are going to be barriers. There are going to be kids that are ready to get there faster. Am I utilizing that GPS mindset and paying attention to the real-time events that are happening in my classroom and the real-time responses from my learners so that I can reroute when that's necessary? I think so often as educators, we forget the importance of rerouting. And rerouting is what makes learning real, and it's what makes learning meaningful for our learners. Because again, they do not all have the same ETA when it comes to reaching a place of understanding for a specific topic or concept. Okay, I'm going to share some additional resources around this idea of questioning in the classroom in the show notes. So be sure that you check those out at andymcnair.com/episode71. But man, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with me. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to learn with me today. I absolutely love this community and enjoy sharing and learning with you. Check out today's episode notes by swiping up in most podcast apps. If you'd like to learn and connect more, you can follow me over on Twitter at McNairAN3, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Meaningful Mess. You can always find tons of resources, inspiration, and information over on my website, andymcnair.com. Be sure to check out my blog, Genius Hour resources, and so much more. Enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, I hope that today's episode has inspired you to find meaning in your mess.